Amen. So this morning I have a message. It's called I had a few words. If you don't know me, my name is Jerry. I am one of the elders here at River of Life. If you're new here, the pastors are both gone, and all of the rest of the elders are gone. So I'm basically best of what's left. That helps you out at all. I'm just kidding. But I have a. I knew I was going to preach already a couple of weeks ago, and I had a few words that came, and I was trying to decipher. I almost felt like I had a couple of messages ready this morning, and I want to. The Lord, I'm always open to the Holy Spirit. I always give Him permission to change the message in whatever way that He sees fit. I had a couple of words that I was working on, and one of them was breakthrough. And I believe that God doesn't just give me those words just for kicks and Cheerios. He gave me that word because somebody in here, or a number of you in here, are waiting for breakthrough. And then He gave me the word abundant life, and I thought, well, this might be two different things. But what I did was I took breakthrough and abundant life, and I kind of combined them. But I want to start with something this morning. I don't know where you're at as far as what you believe about Jesus Christ. I have to believe sometimes it's a struggle for Jerry to get up here on a Sunday morning and preach to a body or a building full of people that believe that are born again, saved, and what do they need? But I want to tell you something this morning that I believe what Joe, our brother Joe Schrock, came up and he shared that you cannot outrun the love of Jesus Christ. You cannot outrun the love of Jesus Christ. And now you can deny it, you cannot accept it, but I'm telling you that whenever you want the love of Jesus Christ, it is ready and available. But as we were worshiping, I saw the three crosses up here, and I preached the message. This was probably, some of you might remember it, some of you weren't even here at that time. And this was, it might have been 5 years ago, so I'm not even sure, but I preached a message on the anti-venom. And there's an anti-venom. So this message was when the children of Israel were out in the wilderness of sin, and they sinned over and over against God. And it was always the mercy of God. And with what Brother Joe shared was that the mercy of God is much greater than we give Him credit for. The mercy of God is the forbearance of God. Basically, you can read about the forbearance of God in Romans, but the forbearance of God is when He actually looked over us in our sin and He waited. It was the mercy of God that brought us to repentance. It's only by the mercy of God that I'm here today. It was just the mercy of God that kept me in the state that I was in until I came to a point where I could receive Him as Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're gonna go to John chapter 9 and chapter 10, and it's about Jesus Christ being the shepherd at the door of the sheepfold. But I'm telling you, there's only one way into the sheepfold. There was a out in the wilderness of sin when the children of Israel fell over and over again, and God let serpents come, and I forget where the scripture is at, but God let serpents come into the camp, and He bit numerous thousands, and these serpents bit thousands of the children of Israel. And the children of Israel started dying off, and they cried out to God and said, look, we sinned. And then God came to Moses, and He said something to Moses. He said, I need you to take a gold, take a bunch of gold, whatever you can find, and I need you to erect a golden serpent in the wilderness, and the children of Israel that have been bitten by the snake can look at the snake on this pole and can be healed and can be saved. And it's in the New Testament where I believe Jesus says, as the serpent was raised up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be raised up. As that serpent was hung on a pole for the sins of the children of Israel, they were bitten, they had venom flowing through their bodies, they were dying off, it was killing them from the inside out. And Jesus said, as that serpent was raised up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be raised up as well. I want to tell you, You can listen to religion, you can listen to different cultures and all of this stuff, and they will give you steps 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 on how you start living an abundant life. I have one step. You receive the anti-venom of Jesus Christ. You know how anti-venom is made in our day now? Antivenom, this is not made up. Antivenom is made where they milk a snake. I don't know, if you want to watch a fun video, watch a video of somebody milking a snake. They milk the snake, they get the venom out of their fangs. They take this venom, and here's what they do. They take a sheep, they take a lamb, and they actually inject this venom into the lamb. The lamb has a lamb or a sheep. They have used sharks as well. Sharks are not as fun to wrangle as a lamb is. But they have injected this venom into a lamb, and there are antibodies in the blood of a lamb that is able to fight off the venom of a snake. And once these antibodies have fought off the venom of the snake, they actually draw the blood back out, and they use that to make antivenom. So that if you get bitten by a snake, you can have the blood of the lamb injected into your system, and you will be healed in an instant. There was a Son of God that was raised on the pole. He was hanging beside two thieves, and it says the thieves on the cross actually reviled him. One of them reviled, it says it blasphemed Jesus Christ. What does blaspheme mean? It says that the thief on the cross blasphemed Jesus Christ. When you blaspheme something, there's a blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. And when you vilify the Holy Spirit, it's when you make the Spirit of God the villain. And there are people in your life, I bet you some of you in here right now, there are people in your life that are coming against you and telling you that you did not hear from the Spirit of God, that can't be the Spirit of God, and they're actually giving credit to the devil for what the work of God that is going on in your life, it's wrong. There's an anti-venom that Jesus Christ said, I'm going to hang on that cross like the snake in the wilderness. There's an anti-venom that you can receive. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the blood of the perfect and spotless Lamb that will save you for eternity. You cannot bypass that if you want to get into the fold of the sheep. If you have to go through the good shepherd. I'm going to go to John chapter 9. That was not my message this morning, but it's a start. You can't bypass the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't run from his love. You can reject it. You can deny it. You can't bypass it. John chapter 9. This will not be a lengthy message. I believe I had a word from God. I believe I'm going to lay this out, and then I want to pray for. I believe somebody in here is waiting for breakthrough, and you're to the point of giving up hope. Might be some of the word that Ryan shared. John chapter 9 is a story of a blind man. I'm going to quickly through this story because the message actually comes out of chapter 10 in John, and the message is called Abundant Life, and please don't get all upset already when I talk about abundant life. I'm not going to preach another prosperity message to you, a prosperity gospel. You can get those a dime a dozen. Jump on YouTube if you want a prosperity message. I'm going to talk about abundant life, and it's not the life that we perceive as sometimes in this world. A man born blind receives his sight. Now, I'm just going to kind of go quickly a little bit through this story, but Jesus says that Jesus, this is verse number one, it says, Jesus passed by. He saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? I'm going to give you a few nuggets as we go here, so you might take a note. Some of these nuggets are mine, some of them are not mine, but if somebody comes to you and says that you must have sin in your life because you have cancer, I want you to forget that right away. To me, that is hogwash. This scripture right here says, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind. If that would be the case, that I get sick every time I have sin in my life, I'd be dead. Bottom line. Jesus answered, he said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, I want you to understand something, that Jesus Christ is no longer on this earth. We all know that. Jesus Christ walked this earth. He died a gruesome death. He rose again from the dead. He was here on this earth for another 40 days, and then he spoke to his disciples. He breathed on them. He said, "Receive you the Holy Spirit." He went up into heaven. Ascension Day is actually coming up on May, I believe it's May 9th or 10th. We have Ascension Day. 10 days after that, we have Pentecost. So we're getting into the season of Holy Ghost messages, right? So Jesus Christ is not here anymore, but he said when he left, he said, "I must go so that he can come." There was one that came when Jesus Christ left. That is the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God. It is the Comforter of God. It says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. So there is one on this earth. So we cannot physically walk with Jesus Christ, but we can walk with the Spirit of God inside of us. Mark Twain said something. Mark Twain said a few quotes, and one of the quotes that he said was that the two most important days in a man's life are the day that he was born and the day that he discovered why he was born. I believe when we discover who we are in Jesus Christ, I believe when we discover our purpose on this earth, I believe that when we discover that there's a greater power that can reside inside of us than what we can actually conjure up on our own, is when we start living abundant life, is when we start flourishing in whatever state that we are in. I can tell you that in the physical eye, we can look out across. I could start going and asking every one of you, and you could start telling me what's wrong in your life. I can tell you right now, in every dry season, in every disease, in every sickness, in every ounce of chaos, in every financial decision that you make, or in every financial crisis that you're in, and in every election, I can tell you that in the middle of all of this, there's abundant life, and it's not going to come from the physical eye. It's going to come from the Spirit inside of you. You were made to thrive. You were made to flourish. I'm not talking about monetary things. If you're going to chase monetary things, you're going to die at 27. Mark Twain said another thing. He said that most men die at 27. We bury them at 72. Mark Twain was a Christian. But as I look at the landscape of church, as I look at what's going on in this world, I see many people that die at 27. Their goal is to get up in the morning and survive. Their goal is to just make it until noon. Their goal is to just make it until it's time to go to bed again. And then the next day they get up and they do it all again. Why? Survival. We have been given, I'm getting sidetracked. I'm just going to tell you right now. We have been given a spirit inside of us, but if you start reading in 1 Corinthians and in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and chapter number 3, where Jesus says that the carnal man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. We are carnal if we're not under the Spirit of God. We are carnal means that we're sold under animal appetite. There is something that an animal will do from the time that it is born until the time that it is die, and all it wants to do is keep breathing. An animal, for most of its life, is in survival mode. And it says that if we are carnal beings, we are in survival mode for the rest of our life. We are in carnal mode. We're just trying to survive. We're just given under breath. That's all we're promised. We're just given under breath, and that is what we do every day. We get up in the busyness of life. We're just trying. I talked with my neighbor the other day, and he said, I'm just so busy trying to make a living. I understand that. Please understand me. But in the busyness of life and trying to make a living and trying to survive it until tomorrow and trying to work through every chaotic situation in your life, there is an abundant life that is not from any man. There is an abundant life that is not from the government. There is an abundant life that is not from Donald Trump or Joe Biden. There is an abundant life that comes from the Spirit of God. He wants you to walk in victory. He wants you to flourish. He wants you to thrive in whatever situation that you are in, no matter what it looks like in the physical. You've been called to abundant life. I'm going to keep going here, sorry. It's the Spirit of God inside of us. Jesus is no longer walking this earth. He's no longer leading us. The Spirit of God is here. Spirit of God leads us. If you haven't experienced that, I want you to experience it. There's somebody in this world that wants to keep us blind. Now, I'm going to read the story here. Now, when he had said these things, And he was talking about this blind man that was born blind from birth, but later we see that he was also a beggar. He sat begging, he was blind, and people saw him daily. Nobody cared about the man until he got healed. Isn't that crazy? Now, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground. He made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. He said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went, and he washed, and he came back seeing. He went, he washed, he came back seeing. Neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is this not the one who sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "Well, it's somebody that certainly looks like him." There's somebody in this world that wants to keep you blind. There's somebody in this world that wants to keep you begging. He wants to keep you destitute. It is the devil. I'm telling you right now, the devil is not here to play nice. He is not here to play fair. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about your family. He doesn't care about your health. He doesn't care about your finances. He doesn't care about you. It says in John chapter 10, it says that he has come to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, "I came to destroy the works of the devil." So no longer, even though it seems like the rug is being pulled out from under our feet, even though it seems like we're not gaining any victory or we're gaining any traction, it seems like we're just not seeing a win in our life. It might be what it looks like. I want to encourage you with something today. This is not a message to come down on you. I want to encourage you with something today that no matter what the situation looks like, no matter what situation that you were in, no matter what it looks like in the physical, you can walk in abundant life. And I'm going to get to that here in just a bit. You see, we think abundant life is freedom. What is freedom to you? I believe we live in the greatest nation on earth. I believe that 100%. I believe that we have freedoms that I know that we have freedoms that a lot of nations do not have. What is freedom to you? You know, in the day that we're living in now, freedom is basically don't question the government, right? I'll let you go if you don't question the government. You're free. You'll have abundant life. They want to keep you strapped down and tied down so that you can't question anything that's going on. Abundant life is no matter what they say, no matter how many taxes they take, you say, "I'm an overcomer. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to walk by the power of the Spirit because I'm chasing a kingdom that is not monetary." That is freedom. We have freedom of speech, right? As long as we say whatever is within the boundaries of our culture, freedom of speech. Depends on what you say, though. We have freedom of religion. I find it's crazy to me. I'm not talking about a certain religion. I'm talking about different cultures and different religions throughout this world, not just in America. And the crazy thing to me is that religious leaders are free to break the law as long as they do it in the name of religious freedom. Crazy to me. The law will turn an eye on some things because of religious freedom. It's not according to truth. There are Jesus talks about in John chapter 10. We're going to get to that just a bit, but there are false teachers that are trying to get into the sheepfold. There are false teachers that are trying to lead people astray. And these false teachers, it says, they are not so much that they want to instruct men. What they want to do is actually manipulate your confidence and use it to their advantage. They don't care about you. False teachers don't care about you. They care about themselves. And if a false teacher comes to you and says that just because you're a Christian, you should not be sick and you should have a lot of money, I want you to run for the hills. We have these lines. We have these quotes that we say, well, to each their own. Just live and let live. We look at our neighbors, we look at society, we're going, I'm just gonna stay in my lane, I'm gonna put blinders on, I'm gonna keep my nose to the grindstone, I'm just gonna keep plowing, and we forget about abundant life. Life in the Spirit is when you thrive and when you have abundance. I'll tell you, I was challenged by Amos in our family life class about said pick one thing that you can do to settle or to spend time with God, or to the busyness of your life, to slow down the hurry in your life. What is one thing? And so for the last week, I shared this too with the class, but I said there's something called the red car theory. How many of you know what the red car theory is? I learned this in leadership training. The red car theory is that if you go to buy, let's say that you want to buy a red Honda Accord, 2015 red Honda Accord, you have decided in your mind that I'm going to buy a red Honda 2015 Accord. It is crazy how many of those that you will see on the road. You could ask my wife. We decided on GMC Acadia, and she was like, she saw more GMC Acadias than she knew were built. But it's because you have that in your mind. So finding that when you get up in the morning and your first thought is, man, how am I going to get through the day? I challenge you to find a red car theory, and mine is my shoes. Now I can't look at my shoes without pausing and saying, God, I thank you that I can walk. I thank you that you have called me to be an overcomer. I thank you that these feet are going to carry the gospel of the peace, or the peace and the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank you, God, that you have given me strength and ability to get up one more day and go to work. I thank you, God, that you're going to use me to further your kingdom, because I can put on my shoes and I can walk. Now, some of us don't have that ability, but I want to encourage you to take that, to find something in your life. I told Whitney, I said, when you push the button on your coffee, most of us do that, right? Make your coffee, God, I thank you for the blessings in my life. I thank you for the power of the Spirit in my life. I'm going to go, so let's just keep going here. We're in chapter 9. Jesus has dialogue with the Pharisees. I find it crazy that the Pharisees didn't care about the blind man until he was healed. You see what? We still have Pharisees in our day, and I want you to be careful of Pharisees. The Pharisees knew the law inside and out. The Pharisees had so much knowledge, but they didn't apply the knowledge. Jesus actually told people, he said, look, I want you to listen to what the Pharisees say, and I want you to do what they do, I want you to do what they say, but don't act like they do. So the Pharisees actually had knowledge, but they did not apply the knowledge. And what happens even today with I get caught up in this myself, where I think that I have to learn the next best thing that is going on in the Bible, or I have to come up with some new revelation. But what we've done is we have taken Scripture like the Pharisees did. The Pharisees took the law, they made it academic and theological instead of applying it. All the research should be relational. See, what we do today is we take the Bible, we should do Bible studies, we should know the law, we should be students of the Word, but what we do is we take the Word, we make it academic, and we make it theological instead of making it relational and oral. You see, all the research that we do should turn into something relational. We can have all the knowledge that we want, and if we don't apply it to our life, we're going to be dead inside. Just like Jesus told the Pharisees, said, inside, you guys are just like the graves. You're full of dead bones. There's nothing alive on the inside. Outside, you look pretty good. And I want you to think about that. When the Pharisees are those that they turn the Bible into theological and academics, and if you can't follow that, then you're kind of cast to the side. No, Jesus wants a relationship with you. The Spirit of God wants a relationship with you, where if you can hear the voice of God, I believe you're going to start living in an abundant life. We talk about the peace, the joy of the Spirit of God will bring all of that to you. The peace of God, the joy of God. I used to think that the peace of that peace was this, that if I was on a beach somewhere with just my beautiful wife, and I had a chair and an umbrella and a drink, and nobody bothered me for a day, that would be peace. But the irony peace of God is in the middle of chaos that you can say, I know I'm walking in the will of God. In the middle of every trial and in the middle of every tribulation that you're walking through, you can say, I know this isn't peace. Peace is actually not the absence of conflict. Peace is knowing that in the middle of conflict, you're walking in the will of God. You're walking under the power of the Holy Spirit. That is peace. And when you can say that I have the Spirit of God in me and I have peace of God and you walk in confidence, there are those that have been opposing you. There are those that are looking at you like you, like you've just changed color and you look like a lizard or something. But if you walk with confidence, I'm telling you, there's an intimidation that people try to throw onto you. But that intimidation will be turned and it'll go right back on them if you walk in confidence of who you are in the Spirit of God. You can't take away. You can't take away. Nobody can take away your salvation. Amen. Nobody can take away your salvation. Some of us in here are waiting for breakthrough. That breakthrough is going to come under the power of the Holy Spirit. That breakthrough will come under the unction. I say this often, you have to function under the unction. And Jesus had this dialogue. I'm going to read chapter 9. Read John chapter 9. Read the whole thing and the dialogue that Jesus had with the Pharisees. This poor guy, they brought him in and said, who's the man that saved you? And what is he? And he said, I don't know. All I know is I was blind and now I see. Every one of us was born blind. Every one of us was born blind, but there was a day in our life when all of a sudden our eyes went open. I want to tell you something, that the Spirit of God is still in the business of opening eyes. The Spirit of God is still seeking an occasion. He's still looking for people that want to see. You see, the difference between, I'm just going to tell you this, I used to be a Pharisee in my heart. I used to be a Pharisee. I probably told you guys this story already, but I'll never forget. I lived up in Shipsy, and I was on my way home from church, and there's a gentleman out on the corner of his property, and he was mowing the yard. And I said to my wife, I said, I hope his grass dies. Just so you know, I'm a pretty transparent guy. I say what I think for the most part. I wear my emotions on my sleeve, but I said that. I was a Pharisee. Because I did not believe that you should do anything. I did not believe that you should do anything that could have been done the next day or the day before on a Sunday. Now, do I believe in the Sabbath? Absolutely. I believe we should have a day of rest. I believe we should have a Sabbath. I take it very seriously. But there is things that I do now. I'm transparent, so here we go. If I go over to the lake to go fishing on a Sunday afternoon, I will not let my neighbor see my fishing poles. Why is that? My liberty should not make another brother stumble. Do we believe the same? We believe in the same God. We believe in the same Jesus Christ. I don't believe my liberty should make him stumble. Now, there are some things that I do that he doesn't agree with, trust me. But as much as I can, I will honor that. That was free, by the way. I don't even know where that came from.
Thank you.
Long story short, the Pharisees excommunicated the healed man because he got healed by Jesus Christ. He said, I don't really care how it happened. All I know is I'm healed. There are some of us that were walking blindly. There are some of us that were Pharisees in our heart. And here's the difference. If you avail yourself, I got taken. Here's how it happened to me. I got loaded up by my wife. I got taken kicking and screaming to a seminar where I heard more truth than I did in all my years in my life. And I said, I want to see. I want to know. And then you start reading the word, and all of a sudden it's alive. Oh, praise God. The Spirit of God is still in the business of opening eyes. The Spirit of God is still looking for those that want to see. And I believe this world is so full of people that want to see. Did you know that Jesus Christ is not here anymore? Did you know that Jesus Christ is now us, the Spirit of God living inside of us to be the light to the world? Did you know that? Did you know that there are people that are watching you? There are people that are looking for occasion, just like the Pharisees, to come down hard on you. There are people sitting in here that are now the poster child of not leaving a certain religion or a certain culture because of what's going on. But I'm telling you now that there's a Spirit of God inside of you that will raise up and that will walk in a boldness and a confidence that it will transcend anything that the eye can see. There's a lot more going on in the spirit world than there is that you can see right now. Adam read this morning in Second Kings about Elisha when he said, I want my servant to have his eyes open. All of a sudden, there's an army that is bigger that is fighting for you than that is coming against you. John chapter 10. I got to get going. John chapter 10. Abundant life. That quote that Mark Twain said might be true for some when he says that most men die at 27, we just bury them at 72. Why did he say that? I believe that that's a good age where we get into the throes of life. Children start coming. We might buy a house. We have all this different stuff going on, and all of a sudden, our nose is to the grinding wheel. We put on blinders so that we can't focus on anybody else. You know, we have this thought that your business, whether you make it to heaven or not, that's up to you. I'm just going to keep doing my thing, man. If I can just have a corner in heaven, that would be great. If I can just stumble in by the grace of God, if just by the skin of my teeth, if I can make it into heaven, no. No, he's called you to abundant life. He's called you to walk in overcoming life so that your neighbor can actually see you. You actually have the blinders pull off and you can see what others are going through. You can speak to them. You can speak words of life. You can bring hope, and you can bring joy, and you can bring peace in every situation that you're in. Times, there will be hard times. You will go through trial. You will face death. All that stuff is real in life. But there's an abundant life. It is a Zoe life of God. All right, we got to go. Chapter 10, John chapter 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, this is Jesus. And the reason that I read that we talked about the story of the blind man is because this is all one story. John chapter 9, John chapter 10. This is, if you have a red letter Bible, it'll be a lot of red letters. And if you read this, he is still talking to the Pharisees, actually. When they cast out the man that was healed, he's talking to the Pharisees. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs him some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. I want to say something this morning. I'm not talking about River of Life, but I'm talking about the church in general. If you ever, there are shepherds, Jesus would have called them hirelings. There is one true shepherd that stands at the door of the sheepfold. The only way into the sheepfold is by Jesus Christ. It is by receiving the anti-venom that he has shed on the cross for you, the blood that has been shed and the blood that has been applied. That is the only way into the sheepfold. I want to tell you something now. If you are following a shepherd that says do, but he doesn't, stop following him. If a shepherd is telling you to do something and he doesn't do it himself, don't follow him. That might be a little too straightforward. I probably could have done that in a nicer way. I'm not sure. And when he brings out his sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. There is nothing sweeter. I was talking with a brother this morning, and we were talking about, I felt, this was probably 13 years ago, I felt like I was called to ministry. I felt like I was called to preach, and the culture that I was living in, it did not look possible. You can't just volunteer to preach. And I would do it in the shower or wherever I could. But I felt like I was called. I felt like I had a desire inside of me. And I actually had a word. I had somebody knock on my door one evening and say, I see you behind the pulpit. And I was like, well, that's not possible. I don't know how that, and I'm not behind the pulpit much anyway, but I could roll it with me. Now I got lost. That's my own fault. But I felt like I was called to ministry, and I didn't know how that was going to happen. And I totally lost my train of thought. I was going somewhere. I'm sorry. I'll come back to it. Verse 5 says, yet when they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he had spoken to them. Here's where I was going. I was called to preach, and it was a couple years later I was asked to preach. I would preach once every 3 months or something like that. And I always had a message boiling inside of me because I felt the fire of God. Now, I do believe that if I had to preach every Sunday, there's a song that we sing sometimes that says, from the preacher preaching when the well is dry. And I believe you have to keep yourself in the Word of God, keep yourself in the Spirit of God. He can speak to you at any moment. He can bring a word at any moment. But I had somebody tell me, somebody said that they can hear by my vocabulary and my dialect that I should probably go to school. I'm not arguing that. I probably should. I should have gone to seminary or a theological seminary or some kind of school. I read a ton of books, but I want to tell you something now. What I told a brother this morning, I have learned more sitting in silence and with the Word under the unction of the Holy Spirit than I have listening to any man. That is where you're going to learn the most, is when you hear the voice of the one true shepherd. There is nothing sweeter than hearing the voice of the one true shepherd. You cannot replace that with the voice of man. Man will let you down. Amen. I'm going to finish up here. The worship team, why don't you guys come back up? We're going to sing a few more songs, and I want to pray with some people this morning, if at all possible. Jesus said to them, and this is still red letter words, they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. I don't have experience in sheep. I have a brother who has sheep. He sells a lot at Ramadan. But from what I hear, it is very hard to chase sheep. The sheep are led, and when they trust a voice, they will follow him. They will follow a trusted voice into a fire. They will follow that trusted voice into a river. That's probably exaggerating a little bit, but when they know a voice, they will follow. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. They will not follow the voice of a stranger. Learn to know the voice of God. Learn to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. He was kind of calling out the Pharisees, to be honest with you. They were not good shepherds. Pharisees were not good shepherds. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out, and he will find pasture. He will be saved. He will go in and out, and he will find pasture. See, the abundant life is starting now. I don't hear him talking about money. I don't hear him talking about status quo. I don't hear him talking about a job. I don't hear him talking about pleasure. I hear him talking about a pasture. It is where you get fed. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I have come. Here it is. I have come that you may have life. It is the Zoe life of God. That you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. Abundantly means in quantity, superabundance in quantity, and superior in quality. Superior in quality. You see, in the world's eyes, superior in quality is all about monetary. Superior in quality is all about what they can see with the physical. But I want to tell you, there's an abundant life that is in the life of God that is under by the power of the Holy Spirit, that where you can walk a life superior in quality of those that don't believe in Jesus Christ. Thank you. Amen. Where the thief cannot get in. The thief, Jesus says this. He says, store up for yourself treasures in heaven where the thief cannot get to it. Where it doesn't corrode and it doesn't collect a bunch of dust. Store up for yourself treasure up in heaven, because the thief is still trying to steal and kill and destroy in this day. He wants people to walk in darkness. He wants people to walk in blindness. He wants people to not be healed. He wants people to be destitute. He loves to oppress people, drive them into depression, and just take away the quality of life. You know what quality of life is? Superior in quality is when you get up in the morning, you can look in the mirror, first thing you do is you go, oh my word. And then you say, I'm a child of God. Amen. Today I will walk as a child of God. I will walk in abundant life no matter what comes at me. My right now I'm just in a dead-end job. I'm just trying to survive. Right now, maybe you have something going on in your family. Maybe you have something going on in your marriage. Maybe you have children that are not walking after the Lord. I don't know what's going on in your life, but you can get up in the morning and say, today I'm going to walk in an abundant life so that others may see that my quality of life is far superior to those that don't know my Lord. It's not prideful to say that you're saved. It takes humility to say that I need a shepherd that can save me. It takes humility to say that I can't do enough in my flesh to save myself. I need a Savior. I need the blood of Jesus Christ. It takes humility to say I have eternal life in Jesus Christ, not by myself, not by anything that I've done, but because of what He's done. Hallelujah. It takes some humility to say I need Jesus. And on my best day as a Christian, on my best day as a follower of Jesus Christ, on my best day as an elder, on my best day as a preacher, I need the Spirit of God. I need Jesus Christ on my best day. I'm flesh. Chase the monetary and die at 27. Chase the kingdom. Thrive in the Spirit. Thrive in the Spirit. I'm going to finish with this. This is in John chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus answered them and said, I told you and you do not believe. And he's talking to the Pharisees again. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep, as I said to you. Did you know there's a scripture, and I'd have to look it up, but it says that you cannot confess that Jesus Christ is Lord unless it's by the Spirit of God. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I saw a video of a guy that asked people, he said, you want $1 million or eternity with Jesus? A large percentage of people will choose $1 million. That means that tomorrow means less to you than $1 million, because life means less to you than money. It's saddening. But there are so many that are walking in darkness. So many that are walking in blindness. Do they want what is right? Do they want eternal life? Yeah, probably. But the situation that they are in actually trumps eternal life. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then he says this, I and the Father are one. Hallelujah. I and the Father are one. And now that was in John, but later when Jesus gets crucified in John, I want to say, I believe it's in 1 John, in one of the Johns, 1st, 2nd, or 3rd, he says that there are three that agree as one, the Father, the Spirit, and the Son. Those three agree as one. And when Jesus left, the Holy Spirit came. I believe there's evidence of the Trinity of God, even when you look at, well, John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in Genesis, it says that the Spirit of God hovered above the face of the deep. I believe there's been a Trinity from the beginning. Jesus Christ was the Word. He came as the Word, and when He left, the Spirit of God came. You see, I believe that Jesus was the Word, God spoke it, Jesus was the Word, and the Spirit came and said, done. Created by a word. This morning, as we close this service, I'm just going to ask you, after we sing a few worship songs or a worship song and pray with people, then we're going to pray for the food, and we're going to go to the east side and eat some food. But I want to ask you something this morning. Maybe I was preaching to the choir. I don't know. But I'm just going to ask you, if you are here today and you're going, man, it doesn't seem like I've experienced abundant life. Maybe you're going I just have a hard time hearing the voice of God right now. I've gone through a season like that. I'm having a hard time hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. I've gone through that, absolutely. If you are here today and you want prayer for anything, if you want prayer like you're going, I just want abundant life. I'm going to walk in confidence knowing who I am in Christ. I just want that solidified in my heart today. I want you to come forward. As we sing this song, I want you to come forward. I'd love to pray with you. And like I said, the pastors and the elders are not here. So I will, if you see people up here that want prayer, please feel free to come and pray with them. Let's all stand, join us in worship. And if that is you this morning, looking for breakthrough in your life, just come forward and we'll pray.